assemble. It's shaping up to be a pony at the Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill in O'Fallon, Illinois on March 26th, the special TMA-themed happy hour. Menu starts at 5:30 and the show gets underway at 6:30, so get your seat early. Grab a Bud Light and join the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tickets and prizes will be up for grabs, and you can saddle up at the bar and try the new Hot Shots menu. All your old favorites are joined by new dishes like potato skins and the new extra hot scorpion sauce. It's TMA Live at the Hot Shots O'Fallon, Illinois on March 26th.
Setley Jewelers has been family-owned since 1946. They offer jewelry for special occasions and offer appraisals, repairs, and custom jewelry pieces.
Recently, I had a couple come in, and she had lost her mom, and she brought her jewelry in, and we took all her stones out, and we recreated these pieces that she could wear and just continue, you know, passing down to her kids.
Setley Jewelers in Lamp and Lantern Village in Town and Country. Online at setley.com.
Get remarkable results when you partner with licensed or certified estheticians who ensure advanced skincare treatments. Support your skincare routine because healthy skin needs healthy skin care. See franchise locations or visit massageenvy.com.
Celebrating 55 years as a family-owned St. Louis tradition, G&W makes over 30 varieties of sausage, including Grant's Farm Brats, Beer Brats, Jalapeno Cheddar Brats, Sazitza, Landjager Beef Sticks, and some of the best andouille outside of New Orleans. The shop is open Tuesday through Saturday at 4828 Parker Avenue in South City.
You can't beat G&W meat.
Grab your book and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
I just set my worries down right on the doorstep.
Sunny, sunny,
just left them there. Street.
Can you hear a pitter pat?
What was that bright thing in the sky?
And that happy
tune. Oh yeah, the sun.
Is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side.
When do they say when's daylight savings time? Kick back in March what?
I'm not sure.
Eight. I thought it was the
Sunday. Yeah. March 8th. Yeah.
Not afraid. This rover.
My fellow Americans, I have not been entirely truthful with you. I did gagoogity that girl. I geschmoigadied her geflavity with my googus. And I am sorry.
Crossed over.
Yeah.
If I never have a cent,
that's a
Googus. I'll be rich.
That's how Quagmire talks.
I just checked, and Makia is exactly right. March 8th.
Ooh,
that's only a week and a half. And we will have longer days. Actually, not longer. They're just shifting the daylight to an hour later. And I'll be happy to see that. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard. We call it the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. And we're glad to have you with us on this day, 26th of February, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
I think that's what I just said. Oh, wait, no, I didn't. I said 26th of February, so it's 3rd of June. Okay, let me make a note of that so I don't mess that up again. Hold on. Got it. That'll never happen again.
All good.
Well, I'm in a pretty good mood today, and I...
Did you get some?
I hold on. Now, right there, there was no reason to hit dun-dun-dun.
We all unanimously disagree.
All right, explain to me how... Did you get some? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, no. That wasn't it. Dan just jumped in before I hit the sound effect. The dun, dun, dun was for you saying that you were in a good mood today.
Exactly.
That was the shocking that's part.
Right.
Well, it is shocking to me, too.
Yeah.
But I am, so savor it, you know, while it lasts.
Enjoy it while we can, eh?
All right. Now, I'm going to ask Makia not to look this up because I want us to go around the room and see if we can even come close to figuring out how this got to be an expression.
I didn't have to look up when daylight savings time was.
No, you didn't.
No,
you knew it.
I know.
Yeah.
And you know how I knew it?
You missed a note.
Frank, I know you don't listen to the show, but John Lomdoff said it on this show last week.
I don't pay attention.
I know. I know you don't. That's why.
You pay attention to the show.
Oh, hang on one second. KC would waltz with a strawberry blonde, and the band played on. He'd glide across the floor with the girl he adored, and the band played on. But his brain was so loaded it nearly exploded. The poor girl would shake with alarm. He'd near leave the girl with a strawberry curl, and the band played on.
Oh, God. Still talking, Brian.
The reason, well, I don't know. And here's the thing. And I'm going to warn young and middle-aged people, when you start to get older, weird things happen to your brain. This morning, I found myself walking through the house singing that song, which I have not heard for 50 years. I have not sung it for 50 years. I don't even know why I remember the lyrics. It came out of nowhere. It's just in my head. It doesn't play anywhere on the radio.
Hmm.
You don't see it on a TV show. And a lot of people never even heard of it. KC would waltz with it. It's called And the Band Played On. Now, isn't that a weird thing, things your mind does? It's just bizarre.
Sounds like you need brain balance, Frank.
I need something. So here's the expression. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? What does that mean? And how did that ever become a saying? Nobody look it up. I just want to go around the room and see if we can even try to determine why. So it's like, and I think it's used when nobody has, when they're silent. They go, well, where were you Tuesday night? And there's no answer. You go, well, what's the matter? Cat got your tongue? Has a cat ever eaten somebody's tongue out of their head? I mean,
maybe you get those crazy old lady, like, animal hoarders that, like, you know, when they die, when a stack of newspapers falls on them and.
Okay, but that's, you're dead. So why would you say, what's the matter? What's the matter? Are you dead? I mean, when you don't say something, why would you say, what's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
And a cat's tongue is really,
no, no, Dan, it's not a cat's tongue.
No, I know.
It's cat got your tongue.
Maybe it's because cats just kind of do their own thing and they don't meow a whole lot.
No, no, it's not. It's not. You don't even get it. It's not about the cat meowing. It's about you not speaking. So my reaction to that is, what's the matter? Like, why did they say that? What's the matter? Did a cat jump up and bite your tongue off? What is that?
That's never happened. Steal your tongue.
And that's never happened either.
I'm going to say that it came from like ancient Egypt because they used to worship cats as gods. There we go. And
so,
that's my theory.
So a godlike cat would silence you
by
if you were
stealing
guilty,
your tongue.
Or,
I am
okay.
That's
that,
the only
you know
thing
what?
I can
that's,
think of.
Now, Dan, your take on it. What do you think it means?
I still go back to cats don't talk a lot and they don't do whatever. So a cat has your tongue to. Just
do you hear a lot of animals
anything.
Talking,
I don't know.
Apart from birds?
I have no idea.
That doesn't make sense. If the cat doesn't talk or meow, that's one thing, but how did he get my tongue? Tim, your take.
If I'm going to break it down, cat got your tongue is when somebody is speechless. Is that accurate?
Yes.
True.
Yeah.
When they have nothing to say.
And you can't speak if your tongue has been removed from your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Why by a cat?
Well, and the only thing that would come to mind is that maybe butcher shops.
Stealing like a cow's tongue or a lamb's tongue?
Fed the tongues, which nobody wanted to buy, fed them to the animals outside.
Oh,
and cats
I could see, like, you know, a poor person would eat the tongue because that's what
I used to work as a meat cutter, and a butcher told me about discarding tongues for the squirrels and stuff outside.
But
I don't know.
But tongues from humans?
Well,
because
I guess
what you're saying is,
from anybody.
That's one
what you're saying is,
shot.
What's the matter? Does a cat have your human tongue?
Right. No, not human.
But you're doing literal.
That's where the phrase becomes fictitious. Is that the cat has a human tongue, but it's a phrase, so it doesn't have to be factually accurate.
Like the cat stole the poor person's tongue.
But whoever,
I don't know why wasn't the expression.
I've got another expression for you. Sorry.
Oh, well, hang on. I got you cornered, and I go, okay, well, answer me. And you don't. Well, then why wouldn't I say, what's the matter? Did your tongue fall off?
Yep.
I mean, that would make sense.
but that was catchy.
I'm sorry, Dan. Hold on. What was
you go,
that, Dan?
You go, yeah, it did. My tongue fell out.
Now, see, that sounds like you're making fun of people who've had tongue surgery.
Dan, did you ever see The World According to Garp with Robin Williams?
Yes.
No, I haven't, actually.
His was bitten off by his wife.
No. Right?
It was?
No.
In the car getting a BJ.
No, your facts are wrong.
Okay. Well, no. I only saw it once.
His wife was having an affair with a student of hers. She was a professor, and she was doing what you just said, BJ.
So I'm right about that.
But that his tongue didn't come out. His penis was decapitated. Severed. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, but Glenn Close was his mother in the movie, and she was a real women's libber, and there was a group of women who protested something. I think it was sexual assault, but it might have been something else. And as a group of, in a sign of solidarity, the women cut their own tongues out. And that's how Garp got his name, Garp, because his name was something else, but one of the girls with no tongues called him, you know? I'm not making this up.
Tim, be careful. You can have a bowel movement when you do that.
I have a bowel movement if I look the wrong way these days. But that's what they sounded like. I'm just imitating them. I'm not making fun of them.
Well, it's a weird expression. Yeah. That's all.
No, I got.
Well, now
I got another one.
Hold on. Limey spoke first earlier, said he had another expression. Go ahead.
Yeah, here's another expression for you. Thank you, Matt Rocchio. Screwed the pooch. Like, where did that come from? Like, I did such a terrible job on that. I guess I had sex with a dog.
I screwed the pooch.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense either.
You just screwed the pooch.
Like, screwed the pooch. No, no. What is that? By the way,
if you substitute the literal translation is, so it would be the equivalent of saying, Matt, you had those scores backwards. You flipped the scores for the two teams. Oh, sorry, I guess I had sex with a dog.
What? I mean, it's a little bit odd when you think about it.
No, it is odd. Now,
so I was asking if Tim could look up the origin of.
What's going to happen is it's going to be somebody thinking, "Well, I think it means," and then somebody else will go, "No, it really means." We don't know. I don't think there is an answer for.
Oh, there might be,
but maybe there is. And if anybody will find it, it's Makia.
It's the Mr. Know-it-all. It doesn't lie.
Don't give the intranet credit. Give our man, Mr. Research Makia, credit, because he'll find it. So, after the debate last night, I thought of a joke, and I'm going
to... Oh, listen to this. Okay. I just looked it up.
Okay.
There's differing sources, but one of the sources is that in ancient Egypt, which Limey referred to, so Limey and I are kind of both right here.
Get out of town.
One source is that from ancient Egypt, liars and blasphemers' tongues were cut out and fed to the cats.
Get out of town!
That's good. Wow. Okay, that.
Wow.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That would explain it.
Mm-hmm.
I am freaking smart.
You are.
Wow.
Man.
That's a shock.
You got the country, and I got who ate it.
Huh? Yeah. What's up? Yeah. Man. Wow. That is kind of shocking. Wow.
Boy, those cats. Those cats will eat anything.
Yeah, I guess they will.
All right, so we had debate last night, as Bill Cleveland would say, who cares? And I just thought of this joke, so I just throw it out as a bonus joke and share it with you. And we'll make it Bernie Sanders, okay? So Bernie Sanders decides he needs to go to where would you think the biggest population, densest population per capita of Native American Indians would be, like New Mexico,
Arizona, maybe?
Arizona, yeah, somewhere.
I have no idea.
Of Native American Indians?
Mm. Yeah,
I would say Oklahoma, or New Mexico.
Oklahoma, yeah. Okay.
Well, let's go with New Mexico, because we seem to all agree on New Mexico. Yeah, so sure. Bernie decides I need to go to New Mexico. Now understand that right or wrong, for my whole life, Native American Indians speaking to me sounds like Tonto, the Lone Ranger sidekick. And in the TV series, when I was a kid, Tonto just kind of, right, Kimosebe. You know, he just kind of grunt out simple sentences, Kimosebe, look, bad men coming over mountaintop. Oh, thanks, Lone Ranger. I'll take care of it. So in the joke, Bernie Sanders is about to speak to a bunch of Native Americans, and he steps up, and here they are all standing out in like a big pasture, And he gets up and says, if I'm elected president, Medicare for all. You know, yeah, umguala, umguala, umguala. And he doesn't, he's, what? I mean, but he goes on. He goes, and another thing, yes, I'm a little bit older than the other candidates, not by much. Joe Biden is only a year and a half, maybe 2 years younger or younger than I am. And Noah, I believe, was like 600 years old when he built the ark. So I guarantee if I'm president, every elderly person, everyone over the age of 65 will get tremendous tax benefits in addition to other great benefits. And then the crowd of Native Americans, umguala, umguala, umguala. And he's thinking, wow, tremendous response. And he goes on, and he makes other promises. And I believe, especially with the Native Americans, because of the way you were mistreated all those years ago, that there should be especially free everything, free college, free health care, everything free for the Native Americans. And if I'm the president, that's what's going to happen. Umguala! Umguala! And so thank you for the tremendous response. And don't forget to vote. And he steps down, and one of the locals who's seeing him over to where his car is waiting, to get to it, they have to cross through this pasture. And as they're walking, the Native American looks at Bernie and says, Mr. Sanders, be careful on the way to the car where you step. You don't want to step in any umguala.
Oh. Wow.
Get you know, it?
You know what would be a fun exercise is if Frank, you
jumping jacks.
If you played the phrase, if you played the part of Bernie Sanders, and if Dan played the part of Bernie Sanders' brother Doc from Back to the Future, and you guys are brothers, and you're fighting with Mom over who gets the last brownie.
Doc well, let's Sanders. Just do it. Let's do what the Groundlings in Second City. It's called improvisational comedy.
I'll play Mom. Okay.
Now, okay. Which one of you boys was the better boy? Who wants the last brownie?
Listen to me, Mom. You know that I have always been your favorite. And the reason I'm your favorite, I'm the older child. And I am the one that goes by the rules, not my brother.
He's a liar, Mom. He's a complete liar. I am the better son.
Mom. Can you hear the way his voice is quivering? That's the symbol and the sign of a liar. When someone's voice quivers, like my brother, that means he's not telling the truth.
That's the way I talk, because I need free health care. For crying out loud.
Both you boys are brats. I'm eating it myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was not scripted. That was not scripted. Not on any agenda. That was absolutely, completely spontaneous. Thank you so much for appreciating spontaneity and improvisational humor. There is a similarity between Dr. Emmett Brown and...
Yeah. And Bernie Sanders. You know, hey, I like it when he gets kind of fired up.
Because I'm sitting there watching TV going, easy, Bernie, don't have another heart attack here.
Oh, yeah, really, Doc Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah, don't, his face starts getting red in the face, you know, and oh my goodness, politics. Here's and this is not a statement necessarily for one side or the other, so you can't accuse me of really being political, but this is a fantastic country. We know that. It's a great country. A lot of things wrong with it, but go live somewhere else. Now, when Sanders or anybody else gets up and starts talking about, why am I getting an echo like a tin, it just went away. When he gets up and starts talking about more death tax, more inheritance tax, it really infuriates me. And any inheritance tax infuriates me, and it should infuriate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Any other way you want to find a tax, fine. But to tax people on what's left when they're dead,
who came up with that idea?
On money they've already been taxed on. Oh, it's been around forever. But he wants to increase it. It's been around forever. It's called the death tax or inheritance tax. And Lyman, here's the way it works. In the state of Missouri, if you don't protect yourself with proper estate planning, it's 40%.
Wow.
So let's say that you accumulated an estate of $1 million. After you're 90 years old and you worked your whole life, well, without proper guidance and legal advice and planning, the government takes $400,000 of it.
That's insane.
After
that's,
you're that's, dead. It is insane, ugh. And it's theft. It's like the government stealing money from a dead person. I can't stand inheritance tax. It doesn't make any sense to me. But neither is personal property tax. That if they want to collect it, call it something else and hide it in something else, because when I get a bill from you, St. Louis County, and you want to penalize me because I got a car that I've already paid for and I have to keep paying every year in some form of punishment for the money I put in the economy by buying the car, it doesn't make any sense to me.
And you paid sales tax on it.
Yeah.
You paid sales tax on it. And
you
now
got that property
paying,
tax.
I call it penalty. Others just call it penalty ownership penalty tax.
You know, honestly, if I could be sarcastic for a second, I don't mind paying these taxes because our governors and our senators, they work really hard. Okay?
They sure do.
They deserve free health care for one, unlimited vacation. Thank you. Our governors and our senators and the state representatives and other jackasses, they deserve to have these fancy leather chairs in their office. Sure. Okay. If the foster care system is failing in this state, who cares about some little orphan kids? I want a governor and a senator that when they walk into a room, they're wearing like a $5,000 suit showing just power. I don't care about their politics.
I think you speak for all of us.
I just want to know that they're rich.
I'm with you.
Now, here's a word that came out in the last day or two, and maybe it's been around before, but I saw it. I read it in an article this morning, and it was one of the politicians referring to another. And I don't think it was during the debate. It was outside the debate, but he called him. Now, this is a combination of two names. Jackhole. He's a jackhole.
Oh,
it's
I like
jackass
that.
Jackass and a-hole combined. Ooh. You're a jackhole.
Who
I
said
like
that?
It. I'm okay. I don't remember, but I read it this morning.
That sounds like a Joe Biden saying. Like that sounds like an old person saying.
It could have been.
You're a jackhole.
Yeah. But I like it because it's not profanity.
It's not
something you can't say. It's not a-hole. Jackass is acceptable, but it's not strong enough. So you strengthen it by putting hole at the end of it. Make it jackhole. Hey, you jackhole.
And I don't know if my mom would get road rage once in a while she was driving, and we were in the car, and she'd go, "You jackass!" She'd always yell at the person and call him a jackass, but... Well, I guess she still does it to this day.
That's a good story, Dan.
Yeah, thanks.
I read about that in Who Cares magazine. I've got one for you.
Oh,
wow.
That
hurts.
Was mean.
I'm just teasing.
Dan knows I'm mean.
If
I said you, I'd mean it.
You are a rude, terrible person.
Here's what that was. That was well-deserved, and Dan deserved it. Because Dan jumps in with a story, my mom used to call people a jackass.
Well, you were talking about jackhole.
I've got one for you.
Oh, okay.
I've got one for you. Just to save Dan here for a second, throw him a rope. Why is it that when somebody's upset, people, where did the phrase, because... I understand the physical meaning of this phrase, but I don't understand why this means, why are you so upset? Why are y'all butthurt?
Why are y'all butthurt?
I have never heard
that. You never heard that phrase?
Never
no.
Heard butthurt?
Why are y'all butthurt?
Dan, you've never heard butthurt either?
I've heard butthurt, but not why y'all butthurt.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
well, I think, yeah,
it means
like,
when somebody's upset.
Yeah, right. Upset. Why are you butthurt? Yeah.
If somebody feels they've been wronged or if somebody's upset, I don't know, a lot of people say,
you're a little butthurt.
Oh, are you all butthurt over that?
I have never heard that. I have heard of, like, a guy gets out of prison and the first thing he asks is, hey, is your butthurt?
Why are you butthurt?
Maybe it's from, like, back in the day when you used to get, like, a spanking or a whipping. Oh, my God. Well, sir, Frank, can I just break in here real quick? Dan, will you go let Dr. Doug in, please?
Oh, yeah.
Every week
I got a better
idea.
I call him every week.
Don't let him in.
I wave my hand, and I say, Doc, as soon as you see me wave my hand, the door's open in 3 seconds.
I've got a button that can unlock the front door, and every time I press it, and he just stands there.
He needs to switch to Sativa.
Yeah, he does.
You know, Matt Lauer had a button that locked the door from his desk.
Yeah,
his
he did.
Yeah, he wouldn't do that to Dr. Doug, though.
No.
Too much beard.
He led Dr.
Now,
Doug out.
So, where were we?
Here's where we are. I'm going to do one bit of business, then we're going to have the Burke segment, and then we're going to invite anybody else who wants to jump in here before we get to check in with John Landoff, and then have Dr. Doug help you with your pet questions. So for any of that, here are the numbers, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. It is my great pleasure to remind you once again that when the time comes to replace windows, now look, it's miserable. It hasn't been the worst winter ever, but it's winter and it's gray a lot. And when it gets cold, you don't want the cold in the house. And if it's coming in around the windows, even though you've put it off for years, think, I'll get to it next year. And then the whole time you do that, you're just paying utility bills that are outrageous that you don't have to be paying. At some point, you're going to have to face the fact you need new windows. And it might not be now. It might be next year when the time comes. I don't know how anybody could answer this question. Why did you buy replacement windows and not even check out the largest selling one in the country? There's a question that I don't... Why is Dr. Doug calling me? My phone, he's here. Is he outside still?
He's in the station.
I thought he came in and he's calling
Maybe
me.
He wants to know if he can actually come in the studio.
He's calling you?
Hang on.
He's calling me.
Now it quit ringing. That's weird.
Probably because we just publicly embarrassed him.
It quit ringing. All he has to do is walk in here and say hello.
He might have, anyway. You know what, Frank? He butt-dialed you.
I think he did because he did it twice earlier today. So
he butt-dialed you.
I butt-dialed a lift. True story. I butt-dialed a Lyft ride the other day. And
really?
Guy calls me. I'm driving down the highway, and he goes, hey, I'm your Lyft. I'm here. And it was in my pocket, and
no.
I had hit like four consecutive buttons in a row in my pocket.
Oh, my goodness.
And they charged me $13.
So
they
what?
Did?
Didn't they notice that you were driving down the highway?
I guess not.
How could they notice that from a phone call?
Because they've got a map on there that kind of like gives you your location, right? That says, okay, I'm here and you're here, so you
but
know how to find your
ride. I'm here and I'm in a car driving.
But I looked
it just
at it.
Says,
I did order it.
Oh, man. That's messed up.
I'm sorry, Frank.
Now, back to Window World. Oh, hang on. I'm getting a text again from Window World.
Oh, they canceled.
Frank, once again, Tim Woodburn started telling a story right in the middle of our commercial. That's two. We've had just about all of this we can stand. Let's
got a text from John Gillette.
Now, I just got another text. Frank, I realized Dan Strauss just interrupted you while you were trying to do Window World. Mm-hmm. So now he and Tim can go stand in the You May Soon Not Have a Sponsor corner.
Oh.
And it's signed John Gillette and Jim Lomax. Okay, see what you guys are doing? You're
can I have their sponsors? Show.
Oh.
No.
You just talked over
them. Aw, dang it.
And now back to this, the fourth attempt, the Window World commercial. So the question that you couldn't answer would be, and if you could, I'd love to hear it. You bought replacement windows, your AM and the PM, and you didn't even call Window World or give them a chance to come out and give you a free in-home estimate. Wow. Good luck answering that with anything that makes any sense, because the truth is nobody listening. I was going to say with half a brain, but if you only have half a brain, you're not AM to PM anyway. Nobody listening would ever not give Window World a shot, not just because they're AM to PM and you are too, but because it is the first choice of people in this entire country. By far, their number one choice. And these are people who've done their homework, and they've compared prices and quality, and overwhelmingly, they've chosen Window World. They've done the legwork for you. They've done the homework. All you have to do is take advantage of it. And I'm not telling you to buy Window World. I'm telling you to let Window World come out and explain to you all the reasons they are number one. And a lot of those you'll see when you go on their website, and that is windowworldstlouis.com. It is the number one seller in the country. It is a great value. And it is the preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues and the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Window World. More at windowworldstlouis.com. We have phone calls. I say we take them. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. How you doing?
Hey, Aim in the PM.
Thank you.
Did he just clear his throat? Was that
he did.
No,
he did.
Excuse me.
There you go.
Hey, earlier this week, you guys were talking about the implosion of the Checker Dome.
Uh-huh.
And I think I remember back then, David Carruthers had done a live report. Do you guys still have that on tape, the David Carruthers report of the implosion?
I think we do. Limey, don't we have that? The David Carruthers covering the implosion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you could just give me like 5 seconds to
find the... By the way, at the time it was imploded...
Okay, here we go.
Hold on. At the time it was imploded, was it referred to as the Checker Dome? Was that the last name?
No, it was the arena.
It was back to the old arena, right. I think. But I know what he's talking about. Mike, apparently Limey has found that report. So we'll be happy to play it for you now. And here is... Wow. On the way back time machine, this is the actual report as filed by David Carruthers.
Yeah, it's good. Wasn't nobody standing up under that thing.
Yeah, that is Mike, so that brings back memories. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Wow, that takes me back. It's like it just happened. And now we go to Dan. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Great.
Good afternoon, everybody, and I'm hope everybody is doing well.
I can't speak for everybody. Hold on, Dan. I can't speak for everybody. Let me see. Is everybody doing well?
I was a little gassy last night.
No, not everybody. Okay. Not that well. Some are, some aren't. What's up, Dan?
Tim must have gas again.
Well, Dan does.
Dan. The reason I'm calling is for two things. Wonderworld did my wife's mother's house last summer, and she has never been more happier with her windows than she is.
There you go. Unsolicited.
And then the main reason I'm calling is that I don't know if this is research for the the people that
the problem solvers.
But I was reading something today in the USA Today, and it was talking about this woman on there that she has never drank alcohol in her life. And every time she goes to get her urine tested, it comes back showing that she has alcohol in her system.
I saw
and
that.
And it's something from her liver.
Yeah, her body is actually turning her urine into alcohol.
Mm.
That is a condition. Like, her body is actually... I don't know if it's, like, ethanol or anything or what the alcohol content is, but it's making alcohol.
Wow.
Like, her urine could get you drunk.
So a drunk would want to marry her. He would. And he could just drink her urine. And
that's
called
a golden shower.
He wouldn't have to buy alcohol.
It's a vaginal IPA.
Does it make her drunk all the time,
yeasty,
or is it just showing urine being infected with alcohol?
We don't know. We're not specialists on alcoholic urine.
The doctor's on next hour.
Yeah, no, you might want to ask. He's a vet, but he might know. He might have.
As always, you guys have solved everything, and I appreciate it. You all have a great day.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
In reality, we didn't solve anything, but I didn't see that story. But that would how would that work if you got stopped and the police, they did a urine analysis, oh, you're drunk, handcuffs, going to jail. I mean, it would show up that you have alcohol in your system.
Thank God they didn't do it that way, eh?
Well, they'd have to do a blood test and that, field sobriety test and a breathalyzer. They'd need to do all that, too. Let's go to Joe. Joe, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you? Joe?
Joe, you there, buddy?
Joe, we're going to give you
three seconds.
Hello.
Yeah, there we go.
There you are. He woke up. Hello, Joe.
My fat thumb hit mute button. Sorry. AM and a PM, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so here's what I believe is about the butthurt thing, okay? Okay, so you got to go back to your childhood, basically, because you know, like being a kid and somebody would rack you, like kick you in the balls?
No, I do not believe when that's I was called, a kid people called, kicked me in the balls.
There's a name for that. It's called Rochambeau.
Yeah.
Well, whatever, man. I don't know. Like, you were weird, man. We were weird kids, and we did the eraser thing, too, where you could see how long you could erase your skin with an eraser. But anyway.
Anyway.
Everybody, if you've ever been kicked in the butthole, I don't know if I can say that, sorry.
No, you can't. Actually, you cannot. So don't say it.
Have you ever been kicked in the rear end up under there? It hurts unbelievable. So the butthurt thing has to do with, are you butthurt, meaning you're hurt really bad? If you ever been kicked up in there, you'll know.
Yeah, I have.
Hold on. Is it more painful than being kicked in the scrotum?
No, but it's...
You know what?
Then why isn't the expression, why are you so nut hurt? Why isn't that the expression?
Hang on. It's actually a different kind of hurt.
Yeah.
And it's just as bad. It's just hard to describe, man. Perhaps you got a break coming up. Perhaps you guys need to go outside and kick each other up in the bunghole or something.
Kick each other in the bunghole? That's messed up.
I mean that way.
Okay. I've never heard that. I've never been kicked there. So thank you for that new information. It sure sounds like something I need to get on right away.
On Urban Dictionary, it says the phrase originates from spanking, the act of striking the buttocks of another person, often seen as the method of punishing a child. So I guess a child gets upset when he gets spanked and his butt hurts.
Right.
Mm. So that's going to go with that before getting kicked in the anus.
Right, though. I mean, it's a different pain. Like, you know when you get kicked
in
the nuts?
Is Joe still on here?
No, Joe's left.
Okay.
But when you get kicked in the testicles, like, it's a long, throbbing pain that just...
Yes, it is.
It hurts. Now, when you get kicked in the butthole, it hurts just as bad, but it kind of, like, fades away quicker.
I can't imagine it hurting as bad.
No, trust me. It's a very, very delicate area, and when you get kicked, like my mate did once to me,
Hold on. I thought you said your maid.
He did.
I said my mate.
Your mate.
Your mate. My friend.
Mate.
Yeah.
No. That's a friend is a friend. A mate is more like, this is my...
I'm allowed to say mate.
You know the expression when they say, oh, they were mating? That means they're having sex. A mate is like a sexual partner.
What?
So you had a guy who was your sexual partner kick you in the butt?
You only use mate, like mating, when it's animals, right? When it's people, you never say, those two people were mating in the bushes. No, you say they're having sex in the bushes. I am allowed to say mate because I am English.
That explains why your butt hurts.
You're American.
Okay, well, I am 50-50. I get to say mate.
Listen to me. Hold on. You have a tendency to dig in and not want to be helped sometimes and take good advice.
Dictionary.
You're back in America, and in America, a guy does not talk about another guy as being his mate. It's like saying he's my partner. That means he's your boyfriend, unless it's a business partner.
That's right.
So, as a courtesy, just like I told you, you're talking. You, just as we helped you a lot by saying, don't say C-A-N-T, because when you say it, it's cunt, which sounds like another word. I'm telling you, don't refer to a male friend as your mate.
Okay.
It's just advice.
I will say my buddy from now on.
Not your buddy. That's better. Your buddy.
That's better. God. Notice how Dan bursts out laughing at something he says, and he's the only one laughing.
I'd crack me up. Well, I crack myself up.
Half the time people are laughing at Dan laughing at himself, as opposed to what Dan actually says.
True.
In fact, not half the time, all the time. So let's go to Seth, because it says he has a traffic report.
Yes.
Seth, welcome to 590 The Fan. What is this traffic report?
You doing the action?
Yeah, I'm glad I called after this,
I bet you are.
Yeah, the traffic report is that southbound 270 is all a bunch of jackholes on southbound 270 right now. There's an accident between Big Bend and 44, and of course the knuckleheads on northbound are stopped too. So the two left lanes are stopped. So don't take 270, stay away from it. No mates, no mating, no jackholes. AM and the PM. Have a good day, Bob.
Seth, you've just done a tremendous public service. Let's thank Seth.
Woo!
Giving people a chance to detour and not get caught in that mess. Now we move on to Kenny. Kenny, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
AM and the PM, first of all.
Thank you, Kenny.
I got a story about a weasel. Walks into the bar.
Okay.
The bartender, he says, I've never served a weasel before. What do you have? Pop, goes the weasel.
When's the punchline?
No, no. That, yeah, we get it.
Feel the burn, Bob.
Okay,
feel
Kenny, the burn. Kenny, we treat listeners just like we treat each other. So I'm gonna tell you that was cute, but we have a sort of a bar that we set for jokes, and it just didn't quite
make it.
But it's a great Halloween joke. So. In way in advance of Halloween, kids, if you're listening, you might want to write that one down. That would be one worthy of a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Having said that, I will tell you that I used to traumatize my half-siblings that are all at least 10 years younger than me when I was a kid. And when I had to pass gas, I would grab one of them by the wrist, and I'd go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they start going, da 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 da.
Aren't you a great half-sibling?
Pop Goes the Weasel traumatized them for 15 years.
Of course it did. They could never again hear it without thinking somebody's passing gas on them. Yeah. Yes, Kenny.
Hey, isn't a butt hurt the same as a pain in the ass?
Yes.
No. Okay. No. Thank you, Kenny. No, it's not. Because if somebody says, oh, he's a pain in the ass, that's just an expression. It's not literal. Butthurt is based on literal pain for apparently from being kicked in the butt. So, not exactly the same. What are you so butthurt about is not like saying, hey, you're a pain in the ass. That's just a different thing. Wow, what a great show so far. Yeah.
I've learned so much.
You've learned so much.
Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to say that.
No, we did this before. No, hold on. You know, we don't live in West Virginia. Learned. I learnt so much.
I've
learned so much. It's a word. It's probably in the dictionary, but in this country, the only people that say, well, you know what I learnt at school today are kids down in rural Mississippi or deep in the Ozarks. I'm just trying to help you.
We say
learned.
We can debate this later because of time, but there's a British band that had a real popular song in the 80s, and one of the lyrics is, and then the conversation turned. Instead of saying turned, they say turnt.
And that doesn't make it right, does it? It just means that's what they did.
And I thought of Limey today on some show. There was a British guy, and he was talking, and he was doing something, and he said, now, if you take that idea...
Okay, but that's a little different because that's speech pattern, like Cuber or Dan Buffer. That's just the way, like John Kennedy. President Kennedy said Cuber. It was at the Boston East Coast thing.
But not
learnt. Learnt. You don't hear that. You got to go deep into the hillbilly country. Mm-hmm.
I finally heard a British person say pizza the other day, but how, like, you know, how you guys always give me crap for how I say it. Yeah, pizza, and I actually heard it, because when I hear it, I still hear pizza, like I'm saying it correctly. Mm-hmm. But when they say, I heard it for the first time, that, oh, should we go get some pizza? I was like, oh, God, you do say it.
You're coming around, you're becoming a real American again. You're starting to notice the difference. Good for you.
I like when you say pizza.
Pizza.
Did we even do the Burke segment?
No, we didn't. I don't think we needed to today.
We have a couple of minutes. Anybody have anything to say? Apparently not. Close it up. Well, no, close it.
We didn't open it.
So we don't have to close it. All right, there's a bunch of stuff in the... I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this just sort of hanging out on its own because... We don't really do full-blown anti-guns commercials. Anti-gun is what we call a billboard sponsor for Mike Evans. Billboard sponsor simply means brought to you by anti-guns, located, it's 15, 20 seconds, but it's not a real commercial. This will be a real commercial because I don't think I have ever received feedback like this. I've received nothing but positive feedback, but this woman... went above and beyond. Listen to this. She says, Frank, I wrote you last week telling you that four of us were going to be going to Annie Guns on Tuesday night, which was last night, for dinner. And I asked you if we should tell them we're AM and the PM and how it was my idea to go there after hearing you talk about it. And it was my first time, even though I'm 47 years old and I've lived in St. Louis all my life. And you wrote me back and said, absolutely, tell them. And to let you know how it went, she says, well, I have to say, it was a wonderful evening, and I feel like I can't even call it dinner. It was a dining experience, and I mean that in a great way. What was to be a nice, somewhat casual dinner among us turned into a three-hour evening that was wonderful. We had so much good food, drink, company. We didn't want the evening to end. We were by a cozy fire. I can't believe so many people go out on a Tuesday night. Well, let me stop right there, Susie, and say, so many people don't go out to some restaurants on Tuesday night. Tuesday night is kind of an off night. As Limey would tell you, who worked in restaurants, Monday, Tuesday, kind of difficult sometimes. But, Susie, you were at Annie Gunn's, where Tuesday night is packed. Okay, she goes on. She says it was packed, but the restaurant was run like a well-oiled machine. Everything went so smoothly, and there were smiling faces around from every employee. I arrived a few minutes late, and I told my husband, who was already there with two other people, be sure to tell them we're AM and the PM. Our server was Julie. She was delightful. And I'm not even going to... This just goes on and on and on. And she says the biggest surprise came in the end when Julie dropped off the check. And she said that the owner, that would be Tom Sainert, said, because we're AM and the PM, our first round of drinks was on him.
Wow.
See, folks, wow. Sometimes when you make it clear that you're AM and the PM, sometimes there's some perks that go with that. She says, we looked at the bill. Those drinks weren't on the bill. She says, the two clients of my husband were wide-eyed, jaws open. We felt like celebrities. Nobody expected this. She said, I'd heard about the wonderful treatment of AM and the PMers. Now I can say I've lived it. And she said, oh, my God, I can't even read. I don't want to take up all your time, but she just says, both of the other people who were with us, even the gentleman from North Carolina, who frequents St. Louis several times a year, said he will be bringing his wife here next time just so he can take her to Annie Gunn's, and I will not wait another 47 years for sure. And then she says, I keep hearing you talk about the steak sandwich. That's on my list next. Thank you, Susie. I wrote Susie back, and I said, no, it's not a steak sandwich. It's the French dip that I mentioned, which is roast beef. And they may have a steak sandwich. If they do, I'm sure it's great. Susie, thank you. What a great, great testimonial, great feedback for Annie Gunn's. Now, as we work our way to the 4 o'clock hour with John Londoff and then Dr. Doug, if you have pets, folks, be ready. Be prepared. 314-821-0590. He's in the house. 855-282-8255. First Community Credit Union. I only have tomorrow to remind you about the yard sale, because after that, Friday, we don't work on Friday, next thing you know, Saturday morning. Yard sale, loyal following, becoming bigger every week, brought to you exclusively by First Community Credit Union. And the great thing about having a show with one sponsor is one commercial, four times an hour, and the rest of the 2 hours belongs to you folks, whether you're selling something, you're listening to buy something, or you're just listening to the only real yard sale, the original yard sale, and that is the one on Saturday morning right here, 590 The Fan, 7 to 9. One sponsor, First Community Credit Union, where I do all my banking and have for years. It's a great place to bank. Rates, very competitive, and very important that they be competitive. That's one of the ways they became the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. They have over 40 locations, and the popcorn is always consistent and fresh. The service is always good, and you will never regret the little bit of work it takes, and it doesn't take much, to close your accounts out at wherever you bank now and join us and become a member of First Community Credit Union. You will be so glad you did. If you want to know more, stop in or go to firstcommunity.com. We're going to check in with John Londoff and then in the house, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. If you have a pet, a question, or a question about a pet you don't even have yet, but you're thinking about acquiring, we got you covered. 4 o'clock, 590 The Fan.
Fighting Illini men's basketball is back in action.
Pass ahead to Georgie, who slams it in.
Here's a pass
Bounce inside to Io. Jump pass for Dunk. For three. Got it from the right corner. Down low. Kofi with a slam dunk.
There's only one place to hear Illini basketball.
Thursday, the Fighting Illini travel north to take on Northwestern. The broadcast starts at 6.
The Illinois basketball.